if there would be a greater Jewish emigration, if immigration into the country, if there would be more Jews, if they would build more towns, if they would take more territory, the country could somehow become defensible and economically viable. And the question was how to interest more Jews in coming. So it was a combination, just as today, a combination of the carrot and the stick. And Anshe Knesset HaGdola mounted a great campaign to interest Jews, especially from Bavel and from Mitzrayim, to move back there to Israel, with spiritual rewards, also physical rewards, and by the establishment of Yerushalayim as the central agency for halacha in the world. Now, as I mentioned to you last time, in Bavel there remained a great center of Torah. And just as we have today, where there is a great center of Torah, so people begin to believe that it is the only center of Torah. Do it my way, you know. Only my yeshiva exists, only my rabbi, only my posek, only my nusach. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the Anshe Knesset HaGdola said that if there's only going to be one, the one has got to be Yerushalayim, not Bavel. And therefore, they created in Yerushalayim the central address for the Jewish people. If you had a shaila in halacha, you were supposed to send it to Yerushalayim. If you had questions to ask, you were supposed to ask it to Yerushalayim. They did. They were able to reestablish it by the consecration of the Sanhedrin, by establishing a Sanhedrin and making it the Sanhedrin, and by, again, a publicity arrangement throughout the Jewish world. They absolutely propagandized the Jewish world to make sure that they sent their questions to Yerushalayim. Now, we have such a situation today, though it's comparable, it's not serious, but there is a competition, a definite competition, between, let us say, the Torah centers in the exile and the Torah centers in Israel, which is entitled to primacy. Primacy of funds, which always is a problem. Even though there's enough money to go around, but most of it is still in people's pockets. It's not in the treasuries of the yeshivas yet. I was telling Meir Shapiro's famous story that when he built the Lubliner Yeshiva, so he came to the major bank, he came to Citibank in Warsaw, and he told them that he's building the building and he needs a construction loan of $1 million. So they said to him, Rabbi, what is your collateral? He says, I have the collateral. He says, I have the whole $1 million. He said, I just have to transfer it to my account, but I have it. So they said, oh, terrific. Where do you have it? He said, it's in the pockets of all the Jews in Warsaw. I didn't transfer it to my account yet. Well, that problem still exists. So there's a question of the primacy of funds. Who's entitled, right? So therefore, for instance, we see a halacha which is from the time of the Anshe Knesset HaGdola. The halacha is aniye ircha kodmin. That if there are equal questions of tzedakah for a Muncie institution or for an institution, let's say, in Canton, Ohio. So the Jews in Canton, Ohio are obligated to support Canton. And the Jews in Muncie are obligated to support Muncie first. However, the exception to the rule is Aniye Yerushalayim. The institutions in Jerusalem are on an equal status. You cannot say to someone who comes from Jerusalem for money to America and say, listen, I got to support Muncie. That may be true, but he is equal to you. So they established the primacy of funds as being Yerushalayim, so that Bavel had to pay for Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim didn't have to pay for Bavel. A situation which exists today. We're all aware of that.